with showing Jesus, because this month, of course, we had Easter, which is He is risen, and we had a beautiful Easter service where we spoke just about the fact that we get to live in the era of the empty tomb and not in the era of the full tomb. And today we're going to talk about, you know, showing Jesus, in particular proclaiming Jesus, which I feel like when we get to the end of the month, we have like the a little bit easier stuff. We're going to talk about being the hands and feet of Jesus, which everybody would much rather, for the most part, be hands and feet. I can do something. I don't want to talk about Jesus. I just want to be kind to people, right? And so today we're going to get into the proclaiming Jesus portion. And when I, back at seminary, we, for my preaching class, it was taught, we had this verse that we had to read every single class period. And it comes from Romans 1:16, and it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First then to the Jew, then to the Gentile." Now, the word salvation, right, comes from the Greek root sozo as the verb, and sozo means to save, to heal, to deliver. Most of Jesus' ministry while he was here was all about healing, right? And salvation is basically a safe, like a safe haven, right? And a lot of people need that safe haven. And like Paul, and unfortunately, I also felt like as I was digging into what does it mean to proclaim Jesus, the Western world, as I have talked about, loves Paul, right? Because Paul is very logical. He spent a lot of time with the Greek philosophers, how to make an argument, this is what I do. And if you have been in the church in the 80s, 90s, probably even the 2000s, you've probably heard of the Romans Road, right? The, you know, this is the four steps to get anyone to believe in Jesus, right? Or whatnot. And Jesus is a lot more complicated than that. We see that Jesus speaks to people with compassion. And there are a lot of times he doesn't even, his gospel is simply repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And that's what he says to people in Mark 1, one of my favorite verses, Mark 1:16. Repent for the kingdom. The good news is that he was proclaiming the good news. Repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. And that's his whole thing, is that the kingdom of heaven is here. And we talk about healing when we talk about salvation. We talk about that safety. And yet it's so easy in today's world to be a little ashamed or afraid of sharing the gospel. Because we're told that we shouldn't, right? We're told it's not polite. It's actually one of my biggest pet peeves, because as the 2016 election showed us more than anything, not talking about difficult topics, all it did was prevent us from learning how to be civil about talking about difficult topics, right? We were told, don't talk about politics and religion. And then all of a sudden it just became we have no idea how to hold a conversation with someone who has a different viewpoint from us. And so there's a lot that goes into all of this, but this is where we're starting, right? And so my first question for you today to think about is, what holds you back from discussing Jesus with others?
Beer.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Kelly, go ahead.
I think that the thing that always comes to mind for me is that sometimes I don't know what to say. Or, like, who to say it to.
Yeah.
Without, you know what I mean? Like, really gauging. I don't know, it feels like it becomes you have, like, you're playing chess and you're like, should I move this piece? I don't know. Should I talk to this person?
Yeah.
Disciple X, are you there?
It's okay. Anyway, so Luke, you can share later.
Yeah.
And I think fear is a big one, but I think we all have different fears. Like Kelly says, like, my fear tends to be, I'm afraid of messing it up. I don't want to say the wrong thing. Some people have that fear of, is this the right time? Or just like, they're going to look at me like I'm crazy. Right? And so, and I do think fear is a very real response and that we have. And so today we're going to look at a parable that you all have heard multiple times. many, 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 many times. And I couldn't fit the whole thing on the sheet and also leave room for you to write. So I cut off the first part from your sheet, but it is up here. We're going to look at the parable of the sower. And so the parable of the sower is in Matthew 13, and it starts, "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear." Now, if you've grown up in the church, you've heard this parable a lot, right? And you're like, I already know what this means. But just take a minute to imagine how the crowds would have heard those words, right? These were farmers. I just imagine some of the commentary. What kind of stupid farmer throws seeds onto a path? Right? And who the heck is sowing seeds before the land's been plowed? Right? Like, and there's no concept of what's happening. They came out to hear Jesus, and a lot of people, right, he's healed a lot of people at this point. They all want to be healed. They all want to learn. They all want to know more. And Jesus offers them this. And I can just imagine, like, what did he say? Do you understand what he's saying? Like, the crowds would have been confused. It's a very... like, we hear this all the time, and then, if you're like me and have, like, absolutely no chill when it comes to suspense, you just have to read an extra, like, 4 verses and you get the answer, right? Like, you don't even have to wait in today's age. All of them would have had to discuss it and ask and figure it out, what does this mean? Here, it's just like, I can go down, like, 4 or 5 verses, and bam, I have the answer. But that's an important thing to think about, because, like, if someone randomly came up and started talking to you about, you know, coffee, and, like, the different ways you make coffee, and then they were like, this is a parable about Jesus, and you'd be like, what? No, that doesn't make any sense. And we have to give the crowds, like, that's how that would have felt. And even the disciples, right? They're the ones who are with him, and they come to him, and they're like, what? They don't get it either. And the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? Why do you not just tell them how it is, right? Why don't you just say it? And he said, he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Through those seeing, they do not see, though hearing, they do not hear or understand. And then if you look at this story in Mark and in Luke, where it's also repeated, it just cuts off there. Matthew, thankfully, gives us a little bit more because Jesus is quoting Isaiah. And if we don't know that, you don't really know what the heck that's talking about. So Matthew, thankfully, is giving us what the prophet Isaiah says and why Jesus is saying this. So he says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. I'll be honest, without this, like, words from Isaiah, it just seems kind of mean, right? Like I have a secret that I'm not telling you, right? But Jesus is telling, like, the whole point here is that you have allowed your heart to callous. And think about how calluses form. You don't, like, if any of you have ever tried to learn guitar or learn how or have gotten into gardening or carpentry or anything that requires a tool, you know that it can be real painful at first, right? And you calluses, they don't form overnight, right? They do, and they are a protective measure. They are the body's defense against irritants rubbing you the wrong way. And so, like, this is a protective measure here. Become callous. It means to become thick, to become hard. And I've said it before, and I will say it again. I firmly believe that being a Christian means to have your heart broken over and over again and to still choose love. That is the core of Christianity. And the Israelites and the people had allowed their hearts to become callous. And it's calloused hearts prevent seeing and hearing God. If you ever wonder, like, why are there Christians supporting that? 90% of the time, it's because their hearts are calloused. Welcome back, Disciple X. All right, but callous hearts prevent people from seeing God. Because callous is, right, it's that protection measure. I don't want to hurt anymore. And instead of trusting God, right, you can turn, and I turn, and I would heal them. Instead of trusting God to heal them, they are saying, I'm going to allow my heart to be callous because I'm going to protect myself. Right. And so this is why the people don't understand Jesus. Now we're going to get into, which I know everyone here has heard, the parable and its meaning. So, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And if you are like me and you have heard this parable before, you have probably heard it through the lens of, what kind of soil are you? You know, do you need to remove thorns from your life? Are there rocks you got to move? Are you good soil? Are you producing fruit? Okay, and that's great, but that's not the point. The point is you are supposed to be the farmer, right? You are supposed to sow seeds, okay? We are called to be the farmer and to sow seeds. It's not about you. So often in America, we are just so me, and we turn everything. This is about me, right? What kind of soil am I? No, the whole point of this parable is that we are told to proclaim Jesus, to talk about the word, to plant seeds regardless of the soil. And some of us, when we talk about Jesus, or we talk about faith, or we talk about these things, or what God has done for us, we like predict what they're going to say. And we, like, feed their lines even before, right? Like, we're like, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but let me tell you, right? Or, like, when we're asking for help and we're like, you're probably going to say no, but, or, you know, you don't have to, but could you, right? We feed an answer that, like, and we have no idea what the seed is. That's the other thing. People's hearts are not like paths and rocky soil. You can't look at them most of the time and know what kind of seed, like, the soil is. That being said, we are going to look at all four types of soil, because as I was thinking and praying about this, because I do think different types of soil need different people, right? Yeah. And we are all called to throw seeds and to throw the seeds out there, and sometimes when we throw seeds, there's not going to be any root, or they're just going to roll their eyes and say we're crazy, right? But there are times, right, that we are able to have conversations, and everybody proclaims Jesus differently. I'm not letting you off the hook and saying, like St. Francis of Assisi has that famous quote, proclaim Jesus, always use words when necessary. There are times you have to use words, period, right? Like, you just have to be able to speak the name of Jesus. But let's talk about the seeds along the path. So these seeds, right, we know, they do not understand the word. That's the thing that always sticks out to me. They don't understand it. It is, and what is understanding? That's thinking, right? It is, that is who is sown along the path. They just are like, that made no sense. I don't like that. Then Satan steals the seed, right? You don't understand it. Because if you throw, like, imagine just throwing seed out on the concrete, right? Seeds don't root in concrete. right? There's no place for them to grow. And they don't understand it, so it doesn't even, like, trickle down. And I would say these are a lot of, like, your atheists and your agnostics, right? These are the people who typically, like, your faith makes no sense. I wouldn't put all agnostics into this category, by the way, but I'm just saying this is some of it. But, like, these are the people who are constantly like, but how do you know? How do you know that there's God? Or the logic. These are the people who really like logic. Last time Luke was telling us about how his friend, like Vlad, shared a beautiful story about how he ministered to someone at the barbershop. And Luke was like, yeah, my friends would not have appreciated anything Vlad said. They would have just come back to him with philosophical arguments, right? And it just would not have worked. And so it's a different type of thing, right? And that's why we look at this. And I think the farmers that they most need, right, are someone who can show them understanding and someone, I think, like, Luke is a great example of ministering to people along the path. Because Luke, if you have not had a conversation with Luke, he is one of the deepest thinkers I've ever met. Like, and sometimes, I won't lie, I get confused talking to him because
sometimes I explain things badly.
Yeah, I mean, yes, but he's also just thinking on this level, like, you know, like the whole philosophy. How do you know there's a chair there? Like, and I'm like, because there's a chair there. Right? Like, this is not my faith. And I think this is also people who have struggled with faith are really good here. This is not my strength. I have never once struggled with the idea that there is God, that God exists. And that does not make me special. It's just a fact. I've struggled a lot with other things, right? I have struggled a long time with, is God good, right? But, like, there has never been a doubt in my mind. And actually, I had an atheist coworker ask me, oh my gosh, a few weeks ago, but, like, but how do you know that God exists? And I was like, because I know. Like, I'm just like, you know, it's like how people always say, well, how did you know that he or she was the one? And it's like, because I knew. I was like, I don't know what you want from me. It's just, it's fact. But it's not, right? And so they need someone who's willing to show them understanding. And this is where we get the apologists of the faith, right? Which, like, why do these things matter? And they're the people who will really argue these things, like, with people. And they're also super patient. Because this is not a slow thing, right? This is the hardest soil to break through. Because, like, today with concrete, you got to jackhammer that concrete before anything's going anywhere. And I'm not saying to jackhammer people. I'm just saying, but because it's the slow, it is the slowest. That's
right.
My point. Because there is more work to be done.
But my kind of thought while I was thinking about it, like the rocky crawl before you even mentioned me, was that I think too often we see this and we want to go at it with a pickaxe or a thing, and really what it needs is water to soften the soil.
Yes, I love that.
And I like what you said was show them understanding.
Yes, not, it is not, there is no attacking any of this. I use, concrete's what we think of, right? And you do need, like, yes. But, like, here, paths would have just been people who, like, the paths that have gotten hardened over time, right? And how do you soften a soil? You water it. And it takes a long time. One of the things I never knew, speaking of all of this, so most people know my mom's a gardener. She loves gardening. I've been in charge of her plants. There's at least one that is dead. Thankfully, she comes back on Tuesday.
It's not so great for you.
Yeah, right? That's how I feel. I'm like, there's only one dead one. I feel like I've done a good job.
And the rest are like,
but, like, so one of the reasons I realized after my mom moved in with me and I've seen her, like, water and take care of things is plants need a lot more water than I think they do. Like, I'm just kind of one of those people, did you water the plants? Yes, I held the hose over the plant, it got water. And my mom's like, you have to soak the ground. And I'm like, what? So, learning, right? Like, that they need lots more water. And you do, you have to soften it. That's why I say patience. This is not someone, this will, you will not, you will never argue someone into the faith. Because if you can argue someone into the faith, someone else can argue them out of it, right? And so that's a lot of what this is. This is your patient people, right? This is not my strength. It doesn't mean I get a free pass. It doesn't mean I'm going to be like, well, Missy, she's a bad path part. I don't have to talk to her. I'm going over here, right? Like, it doesn't mean I get a free pass, but it does mean that I can acknowledge that there are people who are better suited to answer these questions, to have this conversation. And sometimes I do, because we are a body, right? And sometimes, you know, hey, I don't, and this also depends on your relationship, but there are times you can be like, hey, I don't have the answers, but I do have a friend who might be able to talk to you, or who would be willing to grab coffee and talk about these things. Now, that also depends on the relationship. Don't start the conversation that way. All right, so there are two parts to this. One, after each type of soil, I'm going to ask you a question about you. Because healthy, you have to be healthy before you can minister. Then I'm going to ask you a question about other people. Because it's not just about you. At some point, you have to leave your little shelter of me, and actually go out into the world and be the farmer. So the first one is, where have you lost faith because you do not understand something?
I mean, I literally walked away from the faith for 9 years, so hell.
Yes, so, you know, there you go. Not understanding something, right?
I still don't understand that. But.
Well, no, I get you. I totally get it. That reminds me. Never mind. See me after the service. I want to say something. But anyway, right? Like, our intellectual capacity to understand sometimes gets in the way. Like, I don't like this. Or whatnot. And even Jesus says at one point in Mark, it says their hearts were hardened because they didn't understand about the loaves and the bread. He was like, why are you still, like, acting like idiots? And then it's like, it's because they still didn't understand the loaves and the bread, right? Sorry, not the loaves and the bread, the loaves and the fishes. Loaves are bread. Right? And so I know in my life, I have been times where God has done something amazing, and then I've been like, wait, what just happened? Is this right? You know, and it's that, that's what kind of, like, we get lost in the, is, like, the understanding. And who ends... I'm supposed to say in. Who in your life has lost faith because they do not understand? Who in your needs that softened path, right? The water, the love, the care, the patience. And it's something to think about, right? Because we all, I shouldn't say we all, most of us probably know at least one person. Yes, there you go. We a lot of us know at least one person who have lost their faith because they don't understand. And then we have the seeds in the rocky soil. Now, the seeds in the rocky soil, they have no roots, right? They just are like, hey, we sprouted for a little bit of time, and now we're gone. And for them, I would argue that these are our salvation as a one-time event, folks. I don't have to do anything. I said that Jesus prayer once in my life. I am good to go. Thank you so much. I'm going to go live my life now. They have no discipleships. They know the gospel, or they've heard the gospel. Jesus died for my sins, and that's it. I left it at that, right? And then my old pastor used to call them fire insurance Christians, which I always love. They want a get out of hell free card, right? That's really what they're looking for. That's what they want. They're like, I got my get out of hell free card. Now I can go and live my life how I want to live, right? This is who these are. And the farmers they need, that's the teachers, right? They need the people who are willing to disciple people. And also, they need companions in the dark, right? Because it says, I'm going to go all the way back. Should have put it right there. That would have been smarter. Hold on. 1 second. It says, when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall away quickly. So these are the people that need someone who's willing to hold a candle when the world is falling apart. Right? These are the people. So one, right, they need teachers to teach them that it's more than about fire insurance. They need teachers to tell them, like, life is going to be hard. God is going to be with you, but it will be hard. Right? They need people who can speak to that. That it's about more than that. They need companions in the dark. I guess I deleted it. I also had, I put in quotes, heavy lifters. Because somebody's got to clear the rocky soil. Right? Like, there are times in your life when you just need someone to help, like, where you can't hear anything because maybe it's your mental health. Maybe it's because you, like, yeah, like, there's a lot of trouble or persecution and you've seen someone die and you don't see a way forward. Or maybe, like, it's like, I am about to be homeless and what I need right now is shelter, right? The heavy lifters, moving rocks out of the way. Because you can't plant things where there are rocks, right? You just can't. You've got to help move the rocks out. This is more, if I had to argue, this is where I kind of more thrive, right? I like being with people in the dark. I am a teacher at heart. I am 100% a, like, let me tell you about, no, it's not going to be easy, but it'll be worth it. This is where I thrive, here. And then, here's my question for you. Where do you need to deepen your roots in faith? Right? Where are your roots lacking? What spiritual discipline are you like, meh, somebody else can do that? You know, like, I really like quiet contemplation, and I'm just going to let Anna be the hospitable one. That's fine, right? where do you need to deepen your roots? Where do you need to spend time in the Word, right? Where do you need to be fasting or giving, right, or praying or whatnot? Where are those things that you need to deepen your faith? And who in your life needs help deepening their roots? I feel like I know, this is where I feel like I know most people. Now, everybody, like, your oikos is the Greek word for family, but it really means, like, the eight people you spend the most time with, like, because their families were a lot different than what we have now. But the 8 to 10 people you spend the most time with. My oikos is probably more these people, right? Everybody's oikos is going to look a little different. But, like, that deepening of your faith, the deepening of your roots, where do people need that? All right, and to think about, where can you start helping with that? Or even just pointing them to the right resource. Hey, like, I found this book really helpful, or this podcast, or whatnot. Kelly is really great about that. She shares a lot of, this podcast was really meaningful to me. I hope it helps you. Here's this meditation I was listening to. Kelly is really good at that. All right, and now we're going to talk about the thorns. The seeds and the thorns. They are choked, right? They are being damaged. They are worried about life. And in today's world, find me someone who's not worried about life, right? Like, it is hard, right? And there's the deceitfulness of wealth. The, if I just have this, it'll be enough. If I just have this, it'll be enough. I think of the song from The Greatest Showman, Never Enough, right? The first time I hated that song. I was like, but it is enough. Like, but then I was like, oh my gosh, it's such a, like, bigger than that, right? Like, it's, oh my, because we do. We're constantly, it's never, all the stars in the night sky will never be enough for me. There's so many of us who live that life. I just need one more. It may not be things, but I will tell you experiences. I'm all like, oh, just one more. Just one more chapter and I'll go to bed, I promise. Like, just one more. That just one more, right? So the farmers, they need our compassion. Thorns hurt, right? I found out recently that grass, that smell of freshly cut grass, is because the grass is warning other grass that there's a danger. That's what that smell is, right? They're warning, like, the plants still feel pain, which is a weird concept for me. I'm not a great farmer. Just gonna, but thorns are hurting, right? They need the healers. They need those full of compassion. They need joy and safety, right? That's what they're looking for. And they need examples of the faith, because the deceitfulness of wealth, that comes away by showing that, like, other people can be like, hey, you know, I get it. It's okay to want these things, but this is why this is better. This is why this is worth it. They definitely need people who have gone through the thorns and the rocky soils to tell them about God and to tell them about why it matters, why, like, you can start removing thorns. And, like, a plant in here, in this thorny bush, is not removing plants, thorns by itself. Right? It needs a farmer that's going to come. And guess what? It hurts you too. Like, that's the thing. Why I say being a Christian is to have your heart broken over and over again and to still choose loving. Because, like, thorns, when you go to start removing thorns, you might have your gloves on and your protective gear, and there'll still be that one that, like, you know, cuts up your arm or gets at you, right? And this is hard work, man. This is labor intensive. There is no easy... There's no easy way to remove a lot of thorns. And so my two questions for you are, where do you need protection from the thorns in your life? What horns are choking you? It could be worries about money. It could be worries about your job. It could be health. It could be your family worrying about your kids. What thorns are in your life? And then lastly, who in your life would benefit from your protection from thorns? Who do you know that just needs a place to rest for a minute? Who just needs a small break? Like, if I could just get a 2-hour nap, man, I feel like I could handle the rest of the day. These are the questions we should ask ourselves, because it's a lot bigger, again, than just us. I feel like I spent the majority of my life hearing the first half of these questions and never the second half where they were like, now go do something, right? Again, that's that me-oriented Christianity. It's not about you, it's about God. And it's about God's love for the world. And then we have our good soil, and everybody likes the good soil, right? Because this is the quote-unquote, this is the easy one, right? It hears the word, it understands the word, it accepts the word, and it produces a crop. Amen, hallelujah, I'm done, right? And the thing is, too, though, that, like, good soil doesn't just happen. Good soil, right, like, do you know how much money people make by selling soil, right? Like, this was something I never understood. This is why I'm not a good gardener, right? Like, because I was like, there's dirt outside. Why would I go pay for dirt, right? Yeah, right? Like, you have to have good, to get good soil requires the right dirt, and it requires, like, you got to remove some stuff. You got to put the right ingredients back in. Good soil doesn't just happen. But the farmers, they need are the people willing to tell them about Jesus. And there's a good chance that they might have started off as rocky soil, right? They might have started off as the path. But what they need is the courageous people who will actually open their mouths. It's funny to me because this is probably the easiest soil to harvest. And yet, so many people were like, you know what? I would much rather go be the hands and feet of Jesus and go feed the hungry than have to tell people about Jesus, right? I would much rather wake up at the crack of dawn, right, and earn an extra paycheck so I can give a little bit more than have to open my mouth and tell them about Jesus. It is kind of funny how the easiest soil is the one that so many of us are the most afraid of. Nope, not touching that, because we've had so many experiences with other types of soil. But they need people who are willing to just open their mouths.
I'm getting Gemini right now.
Yeah.
Soil, but he didn't realize it, so he's just like, nah, I'm not doing that.
Yes, yes, I love
like
that.
Like them people.
Yes, my favorite thing about Jenna.
Ninevites, man.
Yeah, don't like those Ninevites. They are cruel and awful, because Assyrians were very cruel, right? The people of Nineveh, those are cruel people. They're not interested in God. And I will never not love Jonah's sermon. I believe in Hebrews, in Hebrew, it's only four words. He basically says, the city of Jonah's going, in 40 days, the city of Jonah's will be Nineveh will be destroyed. Like, no life, believe in God, no repent and turn from your sins, just, y'all gonna die, right? And I could just see him going around gleefully, right? Like, and yet they were such good soil that as soon as they heard that, they repented in sackcloth and ashes. Alright, and so yeah, very, very much that Jonah thing of meh. Or we just assume, this is one of like our at least my favorites, I should say. You're probably rocky soil. I don't need to talk to you about Jesus. I was thinking about it, and you're probably that kind of soil, so I'm just gonna, that's not my strength. I'll leave that for someone else. So, the question becomes, are you ready to start producing a crop? Because you're not good soil. You're not good soil if you're not producing a crop. And like you, that's your job, right? Is Jesus says that we will bear fruit. And yes, that fruit looks different in different ways, in different things. It grows in generosity. We grow in love. We grow in compassion. But also we grow in telling people about Jesus. We grow by adding to his kingdom. And so, and this is a really, like, important question to really ask yourself. And if the answer is no, I don't want you to just sit there and feel guilt. Nope. Like, why is the answer no? That's the question. Is it fear? Is it pain? Right? What is stopping you? And that's where we really need to see, like, Jesus, this is where my heart is. Can you heal me so that I can go out to others? Because so many of us are like, can you heal me? Period. Like, thank you. Great, I'm good now, right? Like, but it's, can you heal me? Can you bring good soil into my life so that I can produce a crop?